Hello, Kyle.
Allora.
What are we doing today?
We are doing another podcast. Another
good topic. About?
Sponsorship etiquette.
What is that?
We will see, won't we?
I guess. Welcome to another episode of Smack Talk RC Podcast. This is number 17.
Do you know what you just said?
Smack Talk RC. I know. I said it to see if you would catch it. Smack Talk RC. Yep. I miss Smack Talk RC. I've said that like three or four times throughout the life of BKRC.
Yeah. You're Bert Kammer. I'm Bobby Watts. Here we are.
Podcast. No comment.
Oh God, here we go. All right. Anyway, so yes, BKRC podcast today. We have a very special topic that has been requested by
who?
Somebody. I forget. You told me about it last week.
Some people request it. But boy, I don't remember. There's been a lot of requests, yes. And I'm a little frustrated about this Podbean stuff.
Yes. It's hard to keep track of.
What's up with the Podbean stuff? It sucks. Hate it.
I don't know. We both get emails and there's comments, and then we go to find the emails later and they're gone. So
yeah.
Explain that, Podbean. Huh?
Yeah. Anyway, we're Podbean illiterate people. So
yeah.
Bear with us until we get this figured out. But
any Hoosier, what have you been up to?
I've been doing a lot, man. I did the Tortuga launcher. What do you think of that thing?
That thing is awesome. That's the coolest part of the airplane. Now just launch it.
It's not original. I got ideas from a guy that was on RC groups a while back. But yeah, it works great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works cool. Good.
Yeah.
It was not easy to figure out how much pulling power we needed and how much length on that cord, but on that bungee cord. But it works good.
Yeah, I like it. It takes all the fear out of flying it, because when you and I were first learning and throwing it, you know, sometimes it would fly and sometimes it would crash, so it's a little scary to fly it every time. But now you just hit the pedal and the thing takes off and you just get to have a good time with it. So I like the thing. The launcher is sweet. You nailed it. It's absolutely sweet.
And yours is better, because we built one for Kyle that that's smaller,
yeah,
more compact.
Yeah,
it fits everywhere. Yeah. It's yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're sweet.
We used 3/4-inch PVC instead of 1-inch PVC, and we made it 3.5 feet long instead of 5 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. It's cool. Works well.
Yep.
So did that. What else? Just nothing much. Just the same stuff. I haven't flown a helicopter in a while.
Why?
I confess, I haven't.
Really?
I went to the field a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
Torches and Bobby were there. You were busy. You had a visitor.
Yeah.
And I brought my gold 700. I took it out of the truck. Uh-oh. Put it on top of the back of the truck. I was going to fly it. And then the next couple, 2-3 hours went by. And then it started to rain. And then I just packed it up and came home. Yeah.
2-3 hours. What were you doing?
Well, I mean, I hadn't seen Gator in a while. So, you know, we were catching up and stuff. And yeah. Yeah, it was just the typical stuff at the field, you know?
You flew the Tortuga, though, so.
I flew it once. Yeah. I flew it once. So and, you know, just we did a few videos about the new event, the Torches Winter Bash.
Yep.
So we did a few videos for that. We talked about that. We, you know, caught up. And then, you know, it was time for lunch. I went and got some subs at the sub shack down the road, came back, and we ate some subs, and we talk more shit, and next thing I know, like, the freaking storm from hell came down.
Yep.
As usual, Florida summer weather. So yeah, just didn't get to fly it.
Bummer.
And then the weekend before that, you were out of town. Yeah, the weekend before that.
Oh yeah.
You were out of town. And the weekend before that, you were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And the weekend before that, I don't know what happened then, but it's been a while. I think it's been since Urcha, Urcha's the last time I flew. Can you believe that?
Wow. Well, you've been busy. You got work, everyday work, and then when you go to have your free time, probably the last thing you really want to do is do a whole lot of flying. And
how can I do, how can we do a podcast if I don't fly? That's just not fair to the listeners. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, Well, there's a lot of podcasts out there with people who don't do it every day, so it's fine.
Yeah, I guess. I guess this is true. This is true.
Yep. But
so, what about you? What you've been up to?
Well, as you said, I was out of town, and I went to New York, home to Rochester, New York, to see Mom and Dad and my brother and family and hang out with old Grandma and see how they're all doing and spend some time with them. And then I went to the Northeast Model Helicopter Jamboree at my hometown field, where I learned to fly and learned to do everything. So it's good to see the old crew and old friends and people like Uncle Ron and his family and all sorts of different guys there. The Diamantes were there, and it was cool just to see all the old boys.
Nice.
Yeah, I brought back some airplanes for us to crash.
So, I know.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah, we've flown once so far. So
you're liking planes now more than helicopters?
It's a different experience. It's more relaxing. I've been flying planes for 18, 19 years now, so.
What's up with this airplane fad, you know? Everybody's kind of getting into airplanes now.
It's a trend. It's a trend for now.
What I mean. It's a fad.
Yeah, it's a fad. You know, I think we've got SAV planes now, and planes are fun, so it's a good change of pace. Something else to do. Keeps the fingers moving.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's go over some of these comments on iTunes. We don't have a lot. We only have a handful, but let's see. We have a comment from Texas Follower. That's his name.
Texas Follower.
I've really enjoyed the podcast. I mean, seriously, two of the best in the industry are hosting what I believe is the best podcast I've ever heard. It's informative, technical, serious, and fun. Great job, guys.
Aww.
Thank you, Mr. Texas Follower. Appreciate it. Small Hellies. Wow, learned a lot on your last five episodes. Love hearing how you guys try to keep it simple with setup and tuning. Thank you, Small Hellies. Nice. Yeah. We have Mr. Moradiellos. This guy are awesome. Thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Rocky 17960. Great to hear two of the most knowledgeable people in the heli hobby taking time to share that and some fun experiences along the way. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Thank you, Rocky 17960. Appreciate it. Send us episodes ideas. Absolutely. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to access the Podbean stuff, but we will. We will. We'll get that sorted out. I know Podbean's getting our podcast because we're pushing via the RSS feed, but we just don't have access to their system to access some of the information there. So, but we will.
We'll get that sorted out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, any topics you guys have, send it our way. You know, we're doing this for you guys to help you out and talk a little trash in between. But if you have any topics, let us know, because we're just kind of coming up with whatever people send us for the last couple few. So
what's the sponsorship etiquette all about?
Sponsorship etiquette. This is a touchy subject.
And why? Might
upset some people. But
why?
It was recommended by either James Van Hook or Joe Reyes, one or the other, or maybe both. But it is how team pilots should carry themselves as well as behave on the flight line and social media and how to get sponsored and the different levels of sponsorship. We're going to kind of cover it all tonight. So should we just kind of get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. So the first thing we should cover is the different levels of sponsorships.
Everybody knows that.
They don't know as in depth as you may think. Okay. So you want to start real basic and work our way up?
I'm sure that there's specifics to every company. Every company likes to treat their pilots or reps in a different kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember back in the day when I got started, it was just as simple as you were either a rep or you were a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a rep, you got a discount, and that was it. You got a good discount. If you were a pilot, you got sometimes a bigger discount. Sometimes you got a discount and a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got just a full unlimited ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes if you were at a really upper level, then you got unlimited budget. So anything you needed, you got some travel help. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, you even get a check.
Mm-hmm.
But that I know of, throughout my history in the hobby, there's only been like, oh my God, I feel like under 10 people in the whole world that have ever collected a paycheck from a sponsor.
Right.
Maybe and, even less than that.
And it's not a tremendous check.
No.
No one's getting, no pilot out there that you can think of. And you can probably sit there and sit back and think about the people who are getting paid. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, they're not making a killing by any means.
Now, back in the day, there were a couple, two, three people that were getting paid some good money.
Yeah, like good a reasonable income. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those days are, I hate to say long gone, but the market has changed and, you know, all that kind of stuff has changed a little bit. But there's still people out there supporting the brands, which is the biggest, most important thing.
Yeah,
there's absolutely. Still team pilots and reps and, you know, employees and stuff like
and
that.
And some people call it, like, team pilots and call it reps. And, like, it depends, again, on the company. I personally like to call our team guys. So SAB team or BK Servo team or Switchblaze team or now Exnova team. I like to call them team pilots or part of the team.
Yeah.
I don't like to make the distinction between a rep and a pilot because I feel that that's almost like... It's almost discriminating against the pilot that's up and coming or the guy that really wants to be a team pilot, but it's still a rep and it still doesn't have all the perks.
Right.
Why would you like label them? So I personally like to just call them all team pilots, you know?
I agree. It's a big happy family, our servo guys and our SAB guys. You know, we're all working for the same goal, so.
Yeah.
Keep it family friendly, but yeah. So that's kind of it. You know, you got different pilots and different levels and different sponsorship. It all depends on the brand or the shop itself. So moving forward, what do you think is expected of a team pilot? This is broad, very broad.
It's extremely broad, but I think it's 100% dependent on... It's a mutually beneficial relationship. That's how I've always seen it.
Correct.
If you're a pilot, you want to be sponsored by me. I'm the sponsor. You're the sponsored pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will get... You're supposed to give back as much as in accordance with what you're getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a mutually beneficial relationship. I'm not going to give you expecting anything in return. You're not going to give me expecting anything in return. It has to work well.
Right.
So obviously the expectations for a guy that's getting a relatively, you know, not even a small discount, but, you know, an average discount, like dealer cost is what's the standard, you know, which could range anywhere between 20 and 40%, depending on the company and the product.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody that's at that level, they're expected, the sponsor expects a little bit less from those people than this would expect from a pilot that gets an unlimited budget and anything and everything they need, of course, right?
Right.
Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, because if you're a rep or if you're just getting a discount, you're not expected to give your life away for the company.
But the minimum expectation, in my opinion, like, and this applies to everybody, whether you're a rep or a pilot, the minimum expectation, number one, is loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that, you know, are just simply not loyal. I've known people over the years that become a rep or a pilot simply because they want a discount or they like that brand, but they're not 100% loyal to that brand.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, don't be that guy. Just don't ask to be sponsored. Don't ask to be part of a team. And if you're offered, don't accept it.
Right.
Because you're an extension of that company in one way or another. Whether you're a rep, you're a pilot, whether you get paid, whether you just get a little discount, you are an extension of that company. If you're not loyal to that product because you really truly love that product, then you're not an asset to that company and you're just wasting your time and their time.
I agree.
That's number one in my opinion, loyalty. You want to be loyal to the product, not because you're getting a deal, but because you truly like the product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number one thing that I personally look at when I go after someone, or I'm sure Ron, our team manager, looks at the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to like that. You want somebody that likes that product. You don't want somebody that's just doing it for the deal, number one.
Right.
Number two, there has to be some level of promotion going on to some degree, because that's how you get your money's worth. And, you know, if some people think, well, I'm only getting a discount. Yeah, but a discount means a loss of profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I sell you, like, a helicopter at dealer cost or at much reduced cost, I'm not losing any money, but I'm losing the potential to have made some money, right? Because we have a certain limited amount of stock, period. That's all there is to it.
Right.
So when you take a helicopter from me for 30-40% off retail, that's 30-40% of that amount that I could have made as a business, and I'm not making it because I gave you that kit.
Right.
Sure, I can buy more and I can replenish it, but mm-hmm. you know how it is with limited stock and limited availability. Sometimes, you know,
right.
you only have one left. And so the bottom line is you have to give back in the form of promotion. So right. how would you promote, Kyle? What do you think your average... This is a baseline for everybody.
I think the best way that literally anyone can promote is via Facebook, because it's easy. You can do it from anywhere. And it's just simply making a post or pictures or videos.
Yeah.
So a great way to do it is if, say, you got a wife and kids, you know, you can't get out to the field all the time. When you get out to the field that one time, just take a couple pictures. Take a video. Get your buddy to get a video of you flying. Mm-hmm. And just kind of spread out the posts over time and, you know, have a video composed, you know, or go in like groups like the Hangout and help out people who are having issues with your product. Maybe they're having issues with setup. Help them out. Facebook is a great way to go out and, you know, really push and promote the product.
In my opinion. Agree.
Yeah,
but there has to be some level of promotion or contribution, right? So it could be promotion. It could be assistance in some kind of way.
Yeah.
We have team guys that are not active on Facebook, but they're active in the forums.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heli Freak and Run Rider.
Yeah. And they spend their time searching for posts and looking at issues with, you know, our products, and they chime in and help users, or they relay information to us. So that's a certain level of contribution that is important, right?
Sure.
We have other pilots, on the other hand, I'm not mentioning any names, that don't do much on Facebook either, don't do hardly anything in the forums, but they go to a decent number of events a year. And when they go to those events, they're very helpful to other pilots, and regardless of the brand they're flying, so they're good ambassadors to our brand and our company.
Sure.
So there has to be something, right? Event attendance could be one, contributing in the forums could be one, like you said, Facebook or Instagram, or like some sort of social media exposure where they post pictures or videos or whatever it is.
Yep.
You know, obviously it's all about giving back to the company in return for you being on the team, right?
Or something that I used to see, it used to be bigger back in the day, but now it's not quite as big, as writing magazine articles. Like if you're going to do a review on a helicopter, that'd be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Or just like a tech tip, or how to do a maneuver and you're using, you know, the company's product. It's just whatever you can do to keep the company or the product in front of the public eye. I think
I really absolutely
helps
agree.
And pushes it. So
cool. I absolutely agree.
Well,
and you know, one thing that I find quite interesting here is that there is a fine balance when it comes to promoting something, right? There are people out there that post constantly, and it's the same type of post, and it gets freaking old because it's the same shit picture of a helicopter on the ground over and over and over with the same shit. I'm flying, I'm at the field, I'm at the field, I'm at the field. I took this out today, I'm doing it. It makes no sense. People get tired of that shit. They unfollow you. Don't be that guy either. Be creative. It's better not to post than to post the same shit over and over and over and over again. Don't you agree?
Not the do a video, do a short clip, not the same angle of the same helicopter on the ground with the same caption, and change it up. I mean, do a nice little clip of you flying, or I don't know, put the helicopter on top of a cool car, or
if you're building a new heli, take a picture of a freaking your workbench.
Yeah.
While you're building it.
Something,
you know?
Something.
Yeah.
Something different.
Take a picture of, you know, the new box that you got shipped from your sponsor, you know, showing I got some new goodies. And then, you know, take a picture of your car trunk with the heli. Like, don't just spice, like, change it. Don't make the same good old post because it gets old and people unfollow people because of that.
Make it really unique and cool and different. And different. But another question that I get all the time is, do I have to be a top level 3D pilot to get sponsored? And the answer to that is absolutely not. By any means.
Not at all.
Being as quote unquote in the industry, when we're looking at team pilots, and you know, when Ron sends us people he's thinking to put on the team, pretty much the last thing we're worried about is how good they are.
Because absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you can go out and do pirouette flips or fly an inch off the ground. That doesn't matter. If you can help other people, if you can promote, if you're a good guy, if you don't talk bad about other brands, that's a big thing. And if you're just an overall good promoter of the hobby, that's what we're really worried about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't put too much emphasis on the flying. Obviously, you need to be beyond just a hovering level, of course. But that's not the most important part of it.
Right.
That's probably the least important part of it. It's right. Your personality, your attitude, how you get along with other people, how you represent the product, mm-hmm. how loyal you are to the product, how much you try to promote the product. Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, look at someone like Gator. I love mentioning his name because he sucks at flying and he knows it. But he's such a good ambassador to the hobby because he's so passionate about the hobby.
Right.
And when you're passionate about the hobby, it shows. Mm-hmm. It shows.
Yeah.
It's contagious, yep. right?
Yeah.
And when there's people out there that, oh, I don't have time to fly or like, I don't mean this in the wrong way, but that's just an excuse. The people that are passionate, period. Mm-hmm. And it just shows. The one event they go a year, you can tell that they're into it, that they love it, that they enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know?
They're having fun hanging with their buddies and all that.
Yeah, and that's what most sponsors are looking for, are people like that are contagious, that right. others look at and be like, whoa, that guy sucks, but I love his helicopter.
Right.
And he's awesome. He helped me the whole day, or, you know, he spent time with me and helped me how to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I went and flew with him, and I realized he sucked, but boy, he knows what he's doing. You know, that's great.
Yeah.
That's better than, oh, that guy kills it, but he's a dickhead.
Right.
That's not good.
Right. Or doesn't talk at all. You know, that having someone who can't really fly but knows what they're doing with their product, that's way better than someone who can go out and bust 30 flights a day and just hang out at his own tent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because well, everyone these days is reasonably good at flying. And, you know, everyone can put on a decent show with a helicopter. And
everyone can. Yeah.
And everyone has seen a goblin fly and people know they fly well. But what we like to see is people who are actually involved and give back to the hobby and the company and, you know, participate at events with the people, not just fly. It's so much more than just flying.
So how to get sponsored is a good thing. I'm skipping over our planned mm-hmm. outline, but how to get sponsored is interesting because I always had this thing in the back of my mind that I just never even thought of ever being sponsored, period. Mm-hmm. Never crossed my mind, never thought of it, never give a shit about it. Yep. It just never did.
Yeah.
When I started flying helis, because I wanted to learn to fly a helicopter, and I flew, and I was an addict. Mm-hmm. You know, flying literally every day at minimum 4 to 5 days a week at mm-hmm. minimum, and burning like, at some point I was burning over a case a week of nitro. And obviously at that pace, you know, I progressed very quickly. And within a couple of years, I got offered to be a rep for Miniature Aircraft. Mm-hmm. I never asked for it. Mm-hmm. I never asked anybody. Yeah. I remember going to Huntsville event, I think 2005 or 6, and Vic Campbell from V-Blaze saw me fly. He's like, you want to be a rep for us? I'm like, sure, I'd be stoked. I'm flying your product already. And things happen in that fashion, right? I never asked. I never begged. I never felt like I feel like here's the bottom line. If you have to ask, means you don't deserve it.
Agreed.
And I don't mean this in the rude way. Not that you don't deserve it because you're not good enough, but maybe because that company does not need you, or you don't meet the expectations of that particular company, or you have not been noticed. Make yourself be noticed, and if you're worthy material of being on a team, you will be asked to be on a team.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have not been asked, there's only two reasons why. Number one, you're not contributing. You know, you're not at that level yet. You're not pilot material or rep material yet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you will never be. You're just not there now.
Sure.
Or number two, you are, but you just haven't been noticed. Mm-hmm. So make yourself be noticed, whether it is, again, Facebook. Going to events is the best way to be noticed. Mm-hmm. And you will be asked. And mm-hmm. and if you have to beg or ask, it means it doesn't work. It's not meant to work that way. Don't you agree, Kyle?
Right. I mean, like you said, like if you're doing everything you can and you're pushing the product and you're not getting picked up by anyone, well, you're just not being noticed yet. But as a side note, you shouldn't be doing this to get picked up.
Yeah.
You should be wanting to join the team because you're passionate about the product, you love what you're flying, and you really want to support the company itself.
Yeah, that's it.
And rest assured, if you're flying any of our brands, you know, we're always looking for more pilots. So, I mean, it's not to say that we're not picking you up for any particular reason. We're just, you know,
maybe you haven't been noticed.
Maybe you haven't been noticed.
Make yourself be noticeable.
Right.
That's it.
And just as a side thing, if you are going to ask to be on a team, at least fly the product.
Oh, my God. You know what the biggest turnoff is? the typical email, I'd love to be on your team, like Switchblades. We had a guy from Europe send that like a while back. He sends us a video with a completely different set of blades. I've never tried your blades, but I'd love to be on your team. It's like,
it's the worst.
How do you even, why would you even want to be on a team when you don't even know if you like the product? You've never tried the product.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like,
yeah, that's the worst. Like, clearly they don't care. They're just searching. They're fishing.
Yeah, that's the number one rule. You join a team because you want, you believe in the product. You believe in the company behind the product or the people behind the company. And you want to join a team to be a part of that bigger thing, right?
Yeah.
But if you've never tried it, how can you even, like, that's...
I mean, we have Ron Corris managing our team, but I would say at least once every 2 weeks at BK Hobbies, we get email or a phone call asking to be on the team. And usually what I ask them is like, oh, well, can I see a video of you flying, for example, the servos? Oh, well, I don't have the servos yet. I was just seeing if I could be on the team. Boom, done. Sorry. No chance. If you're not flying the servos, then why do you want to be on the team? You just want a deal? You want to say you're on the team, but sorry, but...
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, we're looking for people who actually care, but...
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people think that... yeah, let's move on. Let's move on, because I want to make a point, but I think we'll eventually get there. So, what about... That's a good point. How about leaving a team? What's the etiquette for that?
If you're either leaving a team or getting removed from a team, you should still... maintain the same professionalism as when you were on the team.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're getting fired from, say, Team A, the next day do not go around pushing Team B and saying it's the best and Team A sucks. Because a week ago, Team A didn't suck. You love Team A.
And there are reasons as to why you would be removed from a team.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily have to be bad reasons. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. You know, it could be a budgeting thing with a company. It could be a multitude of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be that guy. That goes against being an ambassador for the hobby.
Yes.
And being a true ambassador of the hobby is what will open the doors to be on another team down the road.
And being professional and courteous and, you know, not talking bad about any particular company or anything. Just, you know, be kind, be professional. Don't talk bad. You know, just pretty common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Keep it simple.
So, what about you quit, you say you decide to quit, you call the company, you say, hey, I changed my mind, I don't want to fly BK servos anymore, I want to fly MKS servos. So, okay, so the team manager will tell you, okay, well, we're sorry to hear, like, is there anything we can do? No, I just tried these other servos and I like them better, I just want to quit. Okay.
No problem.
Well, that's awesome, because that means... that team member is honest, right? We want honesty. We want direct feedback.
Yeah.
Okay, you're let go of the team, and then like 3 days later, you show up on Facebook saying, I'm happy to be part of the MKS team. Wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, just be cordial.
Yes.
Don't. This is why we get this bad reputation sometimes, Kyle, right?
Yeah.
Where people say, oh, they just go to wherever the money is. This is why we get that reputation, or they go wherever the deal is. Not all of us are like that, folks. Right. No way.
Right.
Don't be that guy. Yeah. Just let it cool off. Yeah. Really think about it. And if you're offered a position in another team and you like that product better, or you really consider moving to that product, then go for it. But only go for it if you feel that you're really going to be committed to that other product for a relatively extended period of time.
Yeah.
Because it makes you look bad, too. It makes you look like you're a flip-flopper. You know,
which is the worst. You don't want to be that guy that switches sponsors every year.
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, I've been accused to be a flip-flopper. I don't know why, because I think I've been on three teams in my entire helicopter teams in my entire life ever.
Yeah.
But I was accused of that when I quit.
Same here.
A line or whatever. And then I ended up working at Ready Heli. So people thought I was on some kind of Ready Heli team, which I really never was, but I was flying the products because I worked there. And then, you know, I had bad luck with a little endeavor that you and I went together on. And but, I mean, I've tried to be as loyal as I could. My main three brands have always been Miniature Aircraft, Align, and now Goblin, you know, with a couple of little in-between tries here and there. But that's important, you know, just don't jump You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. That's what I've always said. Don't jump ships unless you know that you're going to be happy on that new ship and that you're not going to regret it, and that you, because it makes you look bad. And once you quit a team, it's very difficult to get back on that team.
Right.
Very difficult.
Right.
Because the number one thing that sponsors look for is loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had people be very honest in that aspect where it's like, well, why do you want to be on the team? Well, I just want a discount. Okay, well, we appreciate your honesty, but we're not looking for that. And like Bert said, I, you know, I've been accused of being a flip-flopper, but there's probably only been, like you said, maybe two or three teams that I've been on. And it's not about the money, because the money is very negligible in the end.
Oh, some people accuse me too of, like, you know, switching because the money and this and that. You know, the funny thing is when I started flying a line, I eventually got paid by a line. I'm not going to deny that. But when I started flying a line, I wasn't getting paid a dime, a dime. And I was getting free product from them at the time, but I was also getting free product from my previous sponsor, Miniature Aircraft. So it wasn't like I was getting any better deals there. When I started flying Goblin, I wasn't getting paid. Eventually, I did get paid. Thank God I got paid really well. I can't complain about SAB back in my day. But when I first joined SAB, it was they weren't paying me anything for at least 6 months or more. 6 months or more, maybe even a year. And there were no hopes of ever getting paid. I just did it because I loved the heli.
Right.
And I wanted to fly it.
Right.
So people always think that, you know, there's an ulterior motive. You know, maybe there is for some people. That wasn't the case with me, and I'm sure it wasn't with you. I mean, you got thrown around over the years just because of various circumstances, you know, the things that happened or whatever that were inevitable that kind of forced you to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't like you or your dad were looking for the better deal. That was never the case.
No, it's never been about the deal. And I'm going to try and remain as transparent as possible in that I still get paid by various companies. I'm not going to say which companies or how much because that's none of your business. But, yeah, I mean, it's not an incredible amount of money by any means. It's not enough to pay the bills. It's of course, appreciated. It's absolutely appreciated. And it's kind of a nice little incentive.
It's a good little extra disposable income that you can have. Yeah. But it's not like you could live off of that. No.
No, I'm not buying Range Rovers with it. That's for sure. So, no, but it's appreciated and it's nice and it's additional to the income that I make otherwise. But, yeah, if you guys see the top guys and you think, oh, they're just here because they're getting paid, I can promise you there's absolutely nobody, no sponsored pilots that are making a killing.
No, that right not now. At all.
Not at all.
And so our oldest sponsor, the top guys getting stuff for free. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
If you look at the top guys, yes, they're all getting free stuff. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
Are all the top guys getting paid? No, absolutely not.
No, there's probably, I would say,
handful.
Without naming names, maybe five people getting paid right now?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's handful. Not many.
Yeah.
Not many. Yeah. But a lot of the top guys nowadays do get stuff for free. But I still spend a decent amount of money on the hobby. You know, I buy things like, I'm not sponsored for servo connectors or servo wire or heat shrink or any of that stuff that everyone's going to need.
Oh, that's so expensive, though. I feel but so bad for you.
But it adds up. Come on. But it adds up. Soldering irons and tubing and wire and crap like that. But, you know, I am lucky enough to get help with helicopter parts and, you know, servos from, you know, you and stuff like that. So it comes in handy. But
and motors and ESCs and V-bars. And V controls? Yeah, you got it all. You have no room to talk there.
Come on.
Anyway. But anyway, so I think we've covered a lot of this stuff.
There's one thing I want to touch on. It has to do with you. What? Because you're not right now, but in the past, you have been a team manager for various companies. So what has it been like being a team manager? Did you like it? Did you hate it? And what were your impressions on it?
If you want to be a good team manager, it's a very time-consuming task. When I was a team manager, I spent a lot of time talking to the team guys, making sure everything was right, like they were doing what they were supposed to do, trying to find new team people. Like I don't hate it, but I just don't have time to do it.
Right.
And this is what we have. This is why we have Ron.
Right.
But, you know, Susie, my wife, was the team manager also for Edge Blades way back in the day. And I think she was doing the team for BK Servo in the beginning, too. Even she was doing it, not even myself.
Right.
So, and but it's just time consuming. It's very time consuming.
It is.
And it's not, hell, I think even Susie was managing the whole Goblin team too for a year or whatever.
She was at one point, yeah.
The
yeah.
world team, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's time consuming. It's very time consuming. And if you want to do the job well, like, it's difficult because you want to be fair to your guys and make sure that they're getting what they deserve, but mm-hmm. also make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to watch, you know, potential accusations of favoritism because mm-hmm. some guy's your friend and the other one isn't, like, mm-hmm. that part is hard.
Yeah.
And for me, like, it's a no-brainer. I don't care if you're my best friend. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to be on the team,
right?
Period. Yeah. Like, that's all there is to it.
It's business.
But yeah, but for other people, it's harder. And, like, some people unfortunately, like, mix the friendship with mm-hmm. you know, with the business side of things. And it kind of makes you feel bad because it makes you feel like a bad friend when in fact you're just trying to do what's yeah. right for the business.
Yeah.
And it's hard for some people to separate friendship and business. It, for me, it's easy, but it's hard for some other people to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool because it's always interesting to, like, I remember when I was managing a team, I was like, my mindset was different in the sense that right now, it's not that I don't care, but I don't pay attention much at what people are doing out there in terms of, like, how they're flying or what they're doing to promote or whatever.
Right.
But back then, I was just constantly looking, like, is this guy promoting? Oh, this guy's flying better than ever. I didn't even notice that. Like,
yeah.
I was more in tune with that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
it's cool. It's yeah. just, but we have Uncle Ron, and yeah. he does a great job, so.
After watching Uncle Ron,
I think he does a great job. Does he do a good job?
He does sucks. Do a good job. He
does he suck or he does a good
no,
job?
No, he's doing good. He's staying on top of the team. But one thing I've noticed after watching him at the last couple events is I feel like he's just out there herding cows and herding sheep. Because it's like, all right, we're doing a team picture. All right, we got five team pilots here. All right, number six is out there flying. Number seven's taking a dump. Number eight's hanging out with this dude. And it's like, all right, now let's get all line people up here. Oh, all right, now number one's out flying. And it's just
a pain in the butt. Yeah. But Uncle Ron loves it. And we love you too, Uncle Ron. Yes. So
thank you, Ron.
It's, it's like babysitting children. It really is. It really is. It really is. Because, like, all of us in the hobby, and I can't exclude myself, we're like high school people, man.
It's the bad
drama and it's all this bad. And that. Yeah, it's really bad. It's like a big high school group.
It's funny. It's
that never grows up. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're 60 years of age or 19 years of age. They're all the same. It's crazy.
Oh, it's bad news, but...
What else you got to say about sponsorships?
Whether you guys are sponsored, non-sponsored, looking to be sponsored, looking to be unsponsored, just... It's a business at the end of the day, so keep common sense, you know? Even though the companies are... Maybe they only are giving you a discount. It's still a business for them.
And don't think that, you know, you think of a large company like SAB or Align. Just don't think that a hobby company has so much money that they can just give you free stuff or give everybody free stuff. That's not the case.
Right.
I'm not saying that everybody in the hobby is struggling, but it's not a money. It's not a multi-billion-dollar business. It's just not.
Not even close.
So, you know, a lot of times these companies have to sacrifice certain things to be able to pay their bills and to pay their employees and everything else. And it's just, you know, sometimes having, you know, to give away or to hand out a product to a pilot is sometimes difficult for a yeah. lot of these companies. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And the ones that are doing it because they have the ability to. Perhaps they have investments from their owners that are not necessarily, you know, I don't know, a part of the business itself. I mean, there's a lot of wealthy people out there, right? They can afford to do it. But mm-hmm. doing it on the own company merits based on what we see in the industry today is not easy. It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for the hardworking people to, like, just... Okay, here you go. We're just going to send you two free helicopters. Doesn't happen. It's not that easy.
Not anymore. To get that, you got to be pretty top level.
Yeah, very top level. And you have to be doing something too. Like, yeah. It has to be worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you just pay for a name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a name is not enough. You need the name and you need some contribution from that name as well.
Yeah, there's got to be something to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something quantifiable. Videos, events, pictures, something.
Yeah, absolutely. So, something. Not easy, not easy. The hobby world has gotten complicated and difficult, but we're pushing, and we thank the listeners too for listening to our crap every week and and being hobby enthusiasts. We need to push the hobby. And being a rep or a pilot is a great, excellent way to push the hobby, not just the company you represent, but the hobby.
Yep.
I'm a big advocate of telling our team guys, even though I don't communicate with them one-on-one very often, but Ron knows this, that I want our team guys to promote the hobby first and our products second.
Agreed.
Because our products will represent themselves through them, but they can be ambassadors for the hobby, and that's what matters. We want the hobby to grow.
Agreed. Yeah, 100%. Yep.
So
push the hobby and let the brands grow with it.
I totally agree.
But is there anything else to cover? Or is that really about it?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need people to give us. We need you guys to give us.
I know.
Ideas, man.
I know.
We need ideas.
Slim pickings.
Or we're just going to start doing episodes where we just talk about what we did for like an hour. How about that? What do you do, Kyle? What did you do this week?
I woke up at approximately 6:54. No, we need real topics, guys. Give us something cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something riveting, even if it's going to create some drama. You know, Bert and I love the drama.
Yeah, we do.
We love it. We thrive on it.
We'll bring Kyle Dahl. He'll join us, too.
He loves it. He gets emotional about it.
He gets a kick out of it.
Yeah, funny guy, but...
Anyway, well, thank you for listening to number 17.
Sure.
And send us your ideas. You can leave comments on our iTunes feed, BKRC Podcast, or Podbean. We'll access Podbean shortly. If not, you can go to the BK Official on Facebook or Instagram or Kyle.
Facebook.com/KyleStaceyRC. I reply when I can. If you're waiting, please wait a little bit longer.
No, you will. I'll hound you every day. You can get a hold of me at facebook.com/BertRC or Instagram, Bert_Kammerer.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.